B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
O'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, and it's 7-6 day. We're talking about the Sixers and the prospects when they resume in this bubble, which they will head down to Orlando this week. And to talk about the Sixers and a million other issues, I'm always glad to have my buddy Charles Barkley join us on the show. Chuck, how you feeling today?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Well, we're trying to get by here. Where are you right now? I know your big golf tournament Tahoe is this weekend. Where are you these days?
I'm at golf school right now, getting my game ready for Lake Tahoe. I'm looking forward. I got 3 days of lessons with my teacher, and I'm looking forward to heading to Lake Tahoe Wednesday, but I'm at golf school right now.
Well, those lessons, you know, they could cloud your head when you get on the tee in the real show. You know,
I'm
going to
play well, Mike. Hey, number one, before we get started, I want to tell everybody out there, man, please be safe. I know this corona thing is tough, and a lot of people lost their lives. A lot of people lost their livelihood. So thoughts and prayers to everybody out there dealing with this COVID situation.
Yeah, it's well said. So, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But let's talk about, now you're getting ready to come back and do these games on TNT. And so the resumption of the NBA is kind of a wild card on who's going to come out of the gate well. And we know what the Sixers were. They were the sixth seed. But there's somehow a lot of optimism nationally and certainly locally that they can do something different in the playoffs. Do you feel that way?
Well, I've always thought the Sixers, if they could ever get healthy, would be the most dangerous team going against Milwaukee. I mean, you think about this, Mike. Other than Giannis, they're going to have the two best players in every series. I mean, so if you ask any fan or any coach, am I going to have the best two players in every series except unless you're playing Giannis, I think you'll take your chances.
No, I agree with that. Now, let's talk about the one guy that we're counting on, and you obviously have been up and down on him. If everything goes perfect and Joel Embiid comes back in great shape and dominates and can play like 38 minutes a game, then they got a fighting chance. What makes us think that could happen?
Well, I mean, I think that's a big question mark. I mean, I have not seen him yet. I don't think anybody has seen him yet. And we'll get to see him publicly in the next week and see what he did during the three-month hiatus. I mean, listen, man, as long as Joe, as great a talent as he is, until he proves availability and can stay healthy, it's always going to be a question mark.
I'm on the edge here because I want to believe that the Sixers can be different. And then I go, okay, how? Because what I saw in the regular season that made them be the sixth seed was the lack of a blend. They didn't really have a blend. The Horford thing was, you know, like out of whack. And the guys off the bench, they couldn't get a consistent feel. Even when they brought in the two guys, Burks and Glenn Robinson, I didn't have a lot of time. But, like, all these things have to click. And I'm like, doubting that it can click. Am I wrong?
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I look at it a little bit different. I think somebody needs to step up and be a leader. I don't think right now, who's the leader of the Sixers? Who's the guy who's, like, you hope it's your best player, but clearly Joel and Ben have not, you know, they haven't been like, we're going to win, we're going to play well, I'm going to hold everybody accountable. Neither one of those guys has actually did that. And I think that's a fair question. It's legitimate. Listen, if the Sixers lost the first round, I would not be shocked. If they made it to the championship, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah,
They have the talent. It's all going to come down to their mental toughness. I mean, think about it, man. If you got two of the five, you got the two best players in every series, you should feel like we're going to win. The rest of you guys get on my back, and we're going to win. The only team that I would be afraid of is the Milwaukee Bucks. But there's no other team in the East that they're not better than on a, from just from a talent standpoint.
What do you think Brett Brown needs in these 4 months that he's had to think about things? What do you think he needs to do differently? What kind of a system change do they need? What we're hearing is that he's considering Shake Milton as the starting one and have him bring the ball or have Ben Simmons bring the ball up the floor and then let Shake handle the running of the offense. So like a perimeter of Shake Milton and Ben Simmons and Josh Richardson. With Horford coming off the bench. Is that the way to go?
Hey, Mike.
What?
I don't want to cut you off. So let me get this straight. Mike, I'm just so mad at you for even bringing that crap up right now. So let me get this straight. You got Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and you worried about Shake Milton?
No, I'm not worried about him.
No. See, this is what's crazy. You just sit there and said to me, you did not. They got Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and your first question was you talking about a guy named Milkshake?
No,
come on, Mike.
No, listen to me. This is what people are saying in town when it involves the Sixers, that they need a guy who can at least give them some scoring from the perimeter. And this guy is that.
They need them three guys to start earning their damn money. two of those guys are all-stars. They're all-stars. Another guy, y'all gave him close to $200 million. Yo, man, I don't need nothing else.
But it wasn't working, Charles. They got to make some kind of a change. They were sixth.
Well, that's my point. So it's internal. It's not external. It's internal. I'm telling you, though. But I listen, you know I got love for you, Mike. I got a lot of love for you. But please don't tell me the whole
season.
Do not tell me that the Sixers' whole season rides on a damn milkshake.
I'm not an advocate of it. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people are saying they would be better off with that configuration with Horford coming off the bench. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, hey, listen, I didn't even mention Al Horford. So listen, you got Embiid, Simmons, Tobias Harris, Horford, and you worried about a milkshake? Come on, Mike.
Get off this shake thing. I'm not worried about it. I'm just suggesting to you what they're thinking of doing. Would you keep Horford in the starting lineup? It wasn't working with Embiid.
It does not even matter. You, like, listen, there's time. Okay, Greg Popovich. I'm not comparing anybody to Greg Popovich. When we had Greg Popovich in the playoffs when they were winning championship, he says, man, we don't have anybody coming off the bench. He moved Ginobili to the bench. And they still won the championship. The next year, he says, we need more scoring because Tim Duncan is going downhill. He moves him back to the starting lineup. Man, as a coach, you got to make it work. You can't be worried about Milkshake, Mike Scott. Listen, first of all, these guys are all good players. But if you got four guys who are all-stars, you got two guys who are definitely all-stars. Al's been an all-star, and Tobias is an all-star player, really close to being an all-star. Hey, man, if you give me them four dudes right there, I like my chances against any team in the Eastern Conference. Like, the only team that would scare me is Milwaukee, because they got Giannis, but I still like my chances.
Well, so you're saying that should be enough, and I think most people look at the Sixers and go, yeah, talent-wise, it should be enough. So if you're saying that should be enough, then the onus is on the coach now. So if they don't get it done, that's his fault.
I hate saying that, but you are correct.
Okay. Because
We all like him. We all like Brett. But at some point, the coach has got to step up. You know, you can't be saying, well, they don't fit together. Well, your job is to make them fit together. You said bring Horford off the bench. Listen, we're paying him $100 million. Shut the hell up and come off the bench. We got to get Joel Embiid. Hey, man, we don't want you out there shooting a bunch of threes. Get your big butt down on the post. That's what a coach, that's your job, Mike. I mean, that's your job. plain and simple. You got to make this stuff work. You can't keep making excuses where it don't fit together. Like, wait, it don't fit together? Why? You guys were a lucky bounce from probably winning the championship last year. Why are you the number six seed this year? I mean, you think about it. If that ball that Kawhi Leonard does not go in, the Sixers, with the injuries the Warriors had, I think the Sixers win the championship, but that's neither here nor there. But there's no reason for them to be all the way down at the sixth seed. They added Al Horford. There's no reason they should be the number six seed, plain and simple. And there's no reason they should have that discrepancy. If you're 25-0 at home, you shouldn't be 2-23 on the road. There's something going on there, man. That's too much of a discrepancy.
I gotcha. All right, let's look at how this is going to be pulled off now. Everybody's going to be going down to Orlando. They're in the bubble situation. They're playing with no fans. I mean, you played in the league a lot for a lot of years. You didn't play in front of no fans. So what's the difference you think that's going to be for these guys? Does it matter at all, or is it once they take the floor, it's ball?
I think it matters a lot. That goes back to what I'm telling you about the leadership. The leadership is going to have to really, like, hold these guys accountable, whether it's Brett, Ben, Joel, or Al, or Tobias. You're going to have to hold each other accountable because you're going to have to self-motivate. You got to motivate yourself with no fans. So that's the one thing. The Sixers are so inconsistent, which tells me, like, yo, man, why are y'all so inconsistent? You play great at home, the fans motivate you, but you play like crap on the road. But it's going to be interesting because you got to self-motivate yourself. And I think you're going to find out a lot about the Sixers because leadership is going to really have to step up doing this, playing these games with no fans.
Do you think they pull this off? You've lived through the COVID. You were even affected by it. You know how dangerous it is. There's an idealistic view that they're going to be able to pull this off 100%. What's your feeling about it?
I do not think they're going to be able to pull it off. I think that really sucks because a lot of people are going to lose their job. A lot of players are going to lose money going forward. I just don't think, you know, I look at it like this. Okay, so we've been going over my schedule for the last week. I got to block off 83 days starting in the next couple weeks. The chances of these guys going 83 days, well, it's 3 months. Let's just round it up. The chance of these guys going 90 days and nobody catches this virus, I just don't think that's possible. I really don't. I think that sucks for everybody. It obviously sucks for the NBA, but a lot of people who work at NBA have lost a lot of their jobs and their livelihood. But I don't see it possible for them to go 3 months without something breaking out. You know, they're not gonna sequester the maids. They're not gonna quarantine the room service people. They're gonna let them go out and play golf. They're gonna bring in people who do manicures and pedicures. They're gonna bring in barbers. I mean, they've done the best they could, but this thing, and we're going to the worst place in the country right now for the virus. I hate to say it. I don't want to be a pain, but I just don't see them getting it done, personally.
What do you think stops it? A group of players on the same team, or one? If one star player gets affected, do you think they think twice about continuing?
Well, see, Mike, I think they made a mistake with the Utah-Oklahoma City thing. So I asked them a couple of weeks ago, and they didn't give me no real answer because they didn't want to tell me the truth. Because, you know, I said, well, what if one player gets sick? They said, well, we're going to take him out. I said, well, that's not what you did in Utah. You quarantined the Jazz and Oklahoma City. So are you going to do it different now because you need to make up the money, you need to play games? I don't think that's fair or safe. I mean, when Rudy Gobert got the disease, the virus, they quarantined the Jazz and they quarantined Oklahoma City. So for me, if that's what you did the first time, that's what you got to do going forward. If one player tests, you got to put the whole team in quarantine, and the team they were playing against got to go in quarantine. So I think they boxed themselves into a corner. Like I say, what good is it if one guy on the team got it? What good is it to just take him out? You didn't do that the first time. And I feel bad saying that.
So if they quarantine a team, that's it for that team then.
That's it. I mean, first of all, I think it'll be catastrophic if we start playing and then you can't stop. You can't stop. Let's get one that they're not going. If somebody on the Washington Wizards get the virus, they're not going to quarantine them. Mm-hmm. But if somebody on the Lakers or the Clippers, you're like, no, we're going to stop for them because they got a legit chance. That's not going to be fair. So, man, this thing is, I admire Adam Silver for trying to get it done. I mean, because I know NBA, we've lost at least $1 billion already. And the players going to lose a couple billion dollars going forward because the salary cap going to keep coming down the next couple of years. This is just a really awful situation. And I just don't think they can do anything about it.
We're talking to Charles Barkley. A reminder, tonight on NBC Sports Philly, Charles joins Candid Conversations About Race. Michael Barkan will be there. So we'll look forward to seeing that tonight. And while I have you here, let me just go into that area a little bit. You said something on CNN about a month ago where you said it's stressful being black. Now, I want to know exactly what you were trying to put forth with that statement. And then we'll go full circle where you got into a little trouble recently in Baltimore because you showed support for the police and that didn't go over well with some people there. So let's start out with... Go ahead.
Well, hold on. Let me say something. Number one, I'm going to always support the cops. That doesn't mean I want them killing unarmed black men. I'm going to hold my ground. Mm-hmm. We need cops. We don't need bad cops, but we need cops. And, you know, I hear all these fools on TV and radio talk about defunding the cops. Let me tell you something. They're not going to defund the good neighborhoods. They're only going to defund the hood and poor white people's neighborhoods. Who are they going to call, Ghostbusters? When crime go down, that's the stupidest thing I heard. Listen, I told those people in Baltimore, just because we need the cops, I don't want any unarmed black man getting killed. And actually, in fairness, if people actually would do their homework, there's actually been more unarmed white people killed than black people. I don't want anybody unarmed getting killed. But we need cops. I'm going to always support the cops, but we need to hold them accountable when they screw up. That being said. What was the second part of your question?
Well, you said it's stressful being black. What has happened since the Floyd situation? Go ahead.
So let me tell you this. So the point I was making, and see, Mike, you know I like you a lot, but they don't ask you about when something bad happened in the white community. So, and this happened like a month period being black. And being a famous black person, you have to comment on it. And that's just the way it is. So one week, we had the young black kid who was killed out jogging. So you have to comment on that. Then 2 weeks later, you got the young crazy lady in New York is threatening a brother who's out here bird watching. She said, I'm going to call the cops on you. And like, that's like, wow, this is unbelievable. Then like 2 weeks later, you get the George Floyd thing. You never get to relax when you're a black person, when you're a celebrity, because you get paid for it to come in on all this crap that's happening. I really get it wears you out mentally and physically. It is what it is. I don't complain about it, but I'm saying it's just stressful because you know something else is going to happen sometime soon, and then you got to comment on it. And that's the point I was talking about being stressful. I mean, like, I'm at home minding my own business, and then the phone starts ringing. Oh, you're in Atlanta. What's your comment on this young black kid who got killed? Like, I said, well, let me find out what happened. And he's like, he's out jogging, and they hunt him down like a dog and kill him. Then 3 weeks later, like I say, you turn on TV. This young girl is screaming at this black dude just because she told him to put his dog on a leash, her dog on a leash. And then, obviously, you see Mr. Floyd, who was murdered. I mean, come on, man. You can't put your neck on a guy's neck for 9 minutes when he tells you you can't breathe. The crowd's telling you you can't breathe. I mean, that's what I talk about, the part of being stressful. Like, it's always something you have to deal with and talk about all the time. That's the point.
I totally understand where you're coming from. I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that what this movement of being a little more conscious of what's going on, that white people have been enlightened more about the plight of black people in America? Because the balance is, you see this country is almost going through a race war that's orchestrated by people in Washington.
Well, it's complex. See, that's one of the reasons, Mike, I get really nervous when we got a bunch of idiots on talk TV in the morning, and then you turn it over to fools on talk radio. And listen, I can have an honest conversation with anybody as long as they want to be fair. But it's very complicated because, listen, this notion that all white people are evil, that's just asinine. We need their help to make some systematic changes. Number one, we need police reform. You can't have cops judging other cops when they put their neck on a guy for 9 minutes and he got his hand in his pocket. That just can't happen. But we need more economic opportunity. But we need allies. We don't need to alienate people. I'm a little bit concerned that we are starting to alienate people. We're trying to take down every statue. Stuff that's not even important, in my opinion. I could care less about all these statues and things like that. Never thought about them a day in my life. You know, somebody told me that I got in trouble like 5 years ago when I said that. I'm like, I'm gonna say the same thing tomorrow. Never thought about those statues a day in my life. If they want them up, that's fine. They take them down, that's fine.
Yeah, but awareness is a good thing, Charles. When we become aware.
Mike, nobody cares about those statues. What we need
care about
is
the principle behind the statue, though.
Listen, man. All those people dead. What we need is tangible help to make our communities better. That's what we need. We need better health care. We need better economic opportunity. We need real stuff. Taking down those statues and stuff, that's symbolic.
Yeah.
But we need actual, like, real stuff.
I am absolutely with you, 100%. Now, listen, I let you go, but and look forward to your golf spectacular performances this weekend in Tahoe. I'm thinking about it. Your books for the next 83 days, which kind of eliminates the annual Charles Barkley in the studio visit.
Well, you know, Mike, I got to tell you something. When I'm in Philadelphia, and I've been in Philly for a minute, the last couple of weeks, I have had, I'm not even exaggerating, I've had 50 people come up to me and says, yo, man, you got to let us know when you're doing the Mike Missinelli thing. Mike, people, and I look forward to doing it every, and let me tell you something, we're going to make it work.
Oh, we are going to, all right, we're gonna, as long as you want to make it work, we can do it. I'm just trying to figure out how we can do it now.
Yeah, you know, they told us to block off 83 days, but there's going to be some days. I mean, listen, all these series are not going to go 7 games. I mean, we don't, like I say, we have no idea what teams are going to test for the virus. So there's going to be some off days here and there. But we're going, because, man, I look forward to doing that with you every year. I really, really do.
I'm glad that you do, because we have a blast doing it. Are you going to be back in Philly? Because this is normally the time you're in Philly.
Well, I was in Philly.
Uh-huh.
But I, like I say, I stopped at golf camp on my way to Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
I think I got another week or two. I'm going to find out the rest of my schedule soon. They want me to do some stuff, which I don't even think we should be doing it because that's nothing to talk about. But they want to just kind of let everybody know we're coming back and have a couple of pseudo shows. But because, like I say, July the 30th is going to get here quickly. Man, I hope and pray all these players are safe. Because, man, we need to play.
Are you doing the shows remotely? Are you going to be in the studio together, or are you going to be in remotes?
We're finalizing that now. You know, Ernie has to be really careful because he's got a special needs son.
Yeah.
Who's on a respirator. So he obviously, one of the reasons he didn't do the match down in Florida, he can't be around anybody. But he's really concerned for his son, Michael, and I understand that. So we haven't made a honest decision yet, but I don't think we're going to go to Florida at all.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, I will stay in touch with you because we're going to make this happen. People look forward to it, and we will definitely carve out a little spot, and I'll be in touch.
Yeah, man, listen, and I'm telling you, I was listening to you last week. You better quit hating on the Sixers. If they play Milwaukee in the second round, so be it.
Yeah, I don't want that. So I want that. I need them to get on a roll by beating Boston and Toronto. Then they're ready for the Bucks. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, like I say, I'm really curious. I know you are, too. I can't wait to see Joel's body. Because this thing going to happen quickly. It's going to be very fast-paced. You're going to have to be in shape. You ain't going to have time to get in shape. You're not going to get in shape in a week and a half to 2 weeks. You got to come in shape. So I'm really looking forward to watching the Sixers. You know, I root for the Sixers, but man, this thing, like I said, I just hope everybody's safe and healthy.
All right, man, listen, you stay safe and no fist bumps on that golf course, air bumps.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be weird having no fans there. Yep. And Mike, let me just tell you something, though. When I get back to Philly, I'm going to kick your ass. Listen, I'm going to play well in Lake Tahoe. I'm getting better, Mike. I'm getting better.
Well, listen, I've been trying to get you out for, like, people at my place go, "Boy, when are you going to bring Charles out?" I've been trying for 2 years. He's ducking us.
Hey, as soon as I get back, I'm going to come out there and stomp you.
All right. Sounds good, man. Hey, have fun. Take care. Thanks for coming on.
Sure.
All right, there's Charles Barkley checking in. He's going to stomp me. He can stomp me the way I'm playing.
There you have it.
A possum can stomp me. Right now. In fact, I got a lesson tomorrow.
Oh, good.
I'm so out of whack, man.
Really?
Bad news. Anyway, it's great to have Charles. 610-620-975. Tonight, a reminder again, 8:30 on NBC Sports Philly. Charles Barkley, candid conversations about race. Must watch. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 534 of Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. If you want to climb in, no sound off, so we'll take calls on 7-6 day. And we have another giveaway coming up after, the show is conclusion at 5:54. And that giveaway will be the Allen Iverson signed jersey. We'll tell you more details on how you can get that. Let's get our final Twitter poll numbers right now. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup. Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, over 700 votes on this one. Which is more likely to happen for the Sixers? 49% say out in the first round. 51% say make the conference finals. So
51% make the conference finals.
Optimism edges out.
I like it.
Pessimism.
I like it.
Same.
And again, we're talking about the prospect of the optimism. What is the root of the optimism? Is the root that we need something to feel good about, and we're hoping upon hope, and it's really kind of like extra icing on a cake? Or is it legit? And if it's legit, what am I missing? Because I wanted to be learned today, as you know.
Well, you're a learned man.
I wanted to be learned.
Yes.
It's frustrating being right all the time, and so I wanted to, like, see where I'm wrong about
this. Right.
So there, I was asking for people's help today.
Did you get any help?
I had a little help.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I got a little help today. Tom, Northeast Philly. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Let me help you, Mike.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to help you.
Go Go ahead.
And I'm going to take something that Charles said and something that Zumoff said before.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when you have two guys that are going to be better than any two guys on the other team, I agree with Charles. Mm-hmm. And then you throw Horford and Tobias in with them. You have the nucleus that should be as good as anybody's.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take what Zumoff said, and you add that in. The fact that they have not had these guys together for only about one-third of their games.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, okay, that's a lot of reason for optimism.
That's an excellent point, by the way. And so that trumps my assertion that even if you have the two best players, it didn't blend enough. So what's the point? But you're saying they didn't play together enough. Now,
yeah, I'm picking from both.
Yes, but they've got 8 games. All right? Now, that's not exactly a lot. So 8 games, we're supposed to blend the Kool-Aid into a perfect blend.
That's not a lot. I did take a little... I was a little happy about. I don't hate to think about why he did it, but the Bucks shutting down their practice facility.
Yeah,
I took a little bit of hope from that.
So that's a good thing because they're not individual workouts and they're missing some workouts that the Sixers are not missing.
Let me ask you one question, Mike.
Yes.
Why in the world did they decide to have this bubble down there in Orlando with that knucklehead governor DeSantis?
Well, because the facilities just worked out. You could have the bubble at Disney.
Worst place to have it.
Yeah, but it's not really because you're inside the bubble, and if you get a zero,
yeah, like Charles pointed out, the help in the hotels, they're going to be running in and out all the time.
Yeah, but there was no other facility that you could actually house a bubble like that
in the whole country. We could have gone to Canada and done it in Toronto like the hockey's doing.
Well, listen, you're right in that they chose that before things got hot, but it's still, you can still get a zero level to start the bubble with the testing they're going to do and the preliminary testing in 2 weeks ahead of time and all that.
Remember, I have the Sixers at 30-1 to win it all.
All right, well, I hope you're right, man. Now, let me give you a Sixer, good or bad. Rashawn Holmes.
Bad.
Bad Sixer. Well, a lot of people loved him, too. A lot of people loved themselves on Rashawn Holmes.
He did.
Clearly, he was bad if he couldn't get minutes over a very aging Amir Johnson. I mean, let's face it.
Why did people like him?
Again, the athleticism. And because he blocked a lot of shots and he dunked.
Yeah, he ran and dunked.
Yeah.
People really get carried away with the running and dunking part of it.
Big time. Big time.
Yeah. I can see. But see, you would ask, I bet you if you asked 10 fans, they'd say good Sixer.
Probably, yes.
Like 8 would say good.
I think so, yes.
All right, let's go. Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
What's shaking, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, before we put your 33 game hitting streak on the line, a bravo to Charles. Simply the best in the business. Just a ray of sunshine and truth. Hey, listen, Mike, personally, I've never had a problem with the black race. My beef has always been with mostly all politicians, especially the despicable Democratic Party. And bravo to Kanye. I hope he's serious about throwing his hat into the ring, because I will stump for him in the prestigious 9th district that I live in.
They got some good mushrooms in that 9th district today? What the hell? What are you... Seriously? You're putting me on with that Kanye comment, right?
Him and I have some similarities. We both have led an easy life.
You're both very bizarre, by the way.
We both went off the deep end when our mothers passed away, and I have not recovered. But let me get down to business. Oh, Miss Aganoff is 100% spot on. I have 5 or 6 buddies that own pizza parlors in the city, and everyone cries the blues. Out of the 15 to 20 items that they procure, cheese is the most expensive, and it is killing their profits.
It's mozzarella to put on cheese. It's mozzarella to put on cheese, not into cheese. Oh, yeah. Come on.
No, Mike.
American cheese is the cheapest thing you can buy at a deli. Provolone is second.
You've heard of Boar's Head cheese, and that's what they use in these places.
Well, they use high-end cheese for their mozzarella for their pies. This is different. We're talking about sliced deli cheese, brother.
You ready to have some fun, sir?
Go ahead.
Okay. One is going to be...
for people that don't know, Dave gives me players, and I have to pick the college. I've gotten 33 in a row. I'm undefeated in this category. It's just a natural phenomenon for me. Go ahead.
The little engine that led the high-potent Houston Rockets offense, 5'9" baton twirler, Kevin Burford.
Niagara.
Very good.
Next.
This one is going to be an extra credit bonus. If you get it wrong, it's no biggie, okay? I got it wrong. Ryan Blaney is a race car driver. I'm very tight with him and Bubba Wallace and Corey LaJoie. They're all good dudes. Ryan Blaney's uncle was a big-time basketball star, Dale Blaney. I guess Providence. I was incorrect. This is a freebie. What college, Mike?
Well, when did Dale Blaney play?
He was drafted by the Lakers in the fourth round in 1986. Okay, there's your time frame.
Dale Blaney?
Yeah, it was his uncle. I guess Providence. I was dead wrong.
I have no idea, man. I don't even know who that is.
Well,
I gotta be honest with you. I never heard of a player.
West Virginia, and your streak is a 34. I love you, brother.
That's it? You gave me one? Calvin Murphy, that was all you had today?
Yeah.
And Dale Blaney? Are you kidding me?
That's a bonus.
Oh, get out of here, you knucklehead. Dale Blaney? It's not even a legitimate person.
He tries.
All right. He is bizarre like Kanye, though, isn't he?
Oh, for sure.
He's Kanye-esque.
Yeah.
Yes.
They might be buddies.
610-632-0975. You want to squeeze in? We got time for you on the Mike Missanelli Show. And we'll play a couple more Sixers, a good Sixer or bad Sixer. Mike Missanelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5:47. We're coming down the home stretch of the Mike Missanelli Show. Devon Givens follows from 6 to 10 tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. Very interesting evening. Sixers T-Wolves follows this show from 2019. That's right. Karl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid fight game where Joel went WWE, right, with this. Yeah, I didn't dig it.
Yeah, and then he went on his Twitter rant.
Yeah, I didn't dig it.
Using a lot of words. Yeah,
people will be excited to watch that again. And after that, candid conversations about race with a guest, Charles Barkley, who joined us about 20 minutes a little earlier on the program. It was entertaining as usual. Let's go, Sean in Punxsutawney. Sean, what's up?
Hey, Mikey Miss.
How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Doing good, Sean.
I used to call you guys from Upper Darby.
And now you're in Punxsutawney?
Yeah.
What are you doing up there?
I just moved up here, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's real quiet, it's peaceful. It's a peaceful place, you know?
I would say it is up there in Punxsutawney.
It is.
Uh-huh.
But real quick, I know you know you don't have much time. So, Mikey Miss, here's my problem.
Uh-huh.
I'm worried that we're not going to have any sports, you know? Like, I really am. Like, I love sports. You know what I've been watching? I was on YouTube for the last couple of days watching a bunch of Nolan Ryan no hitters, and they have the actual games on there.
Yes, they do. I kind of like watching the old games too.
Right?
It's very possible that I think we're going to start all these sports. I don't know if we're going to be able to finish them.
I know. And that's why I'm like, you know, that's why I'm just bummed out about it.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, I just listen. It's one of those years. you had to get like a windshield wiper. And learn from it, and like we should be better educated about a lot of stuff, and then we roll in 2021 will be a better year. You got to think that.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? I the one thing, you know, even here in this little small town of Punxsutawney, you know, when I go to the little Shop and Save, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a small town. And, you know, they ask you to wear a mask, and I wear a mask.
Good.
Or a face mask.
Yeah, right? And because in the rural areas, we seem to have this pushback, but I'm glad that you get that Upper Darby brand, Sean, so you think it's important.
But people are so against it.
It's ridiculous. Like, it really is. It's not something I understand. Yeah.
You know, Mikey Miss, I appreciate you guys giving me the time.
All right, Sean, let me play Good Sixer, Bad Sixer with you.
Okay.
All right. Let's go with Ersan Ilyasova. Good Sixer, Bad Sixer.
Who?
Ersan Ilyasova. He's a good Sixer. I'll fill in the blanks. Punxsutawney. My man Punxsutawney gave me a who.
Yeah. Who?
Ersan. Eric on a cell. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Eric? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So for the, I guess just for the reason I can give you, I'll give you a little different take as far as why there's optimism around the Sixers.
All right, I want to hear it.
All right, so there is some data for this as far as going on overseas. I know you're not a big soccer guy, but a lot of these young guys over there now are having a lot of success without the crowd. So those with maybe younger or softer mentalities are really succeeding right now. You see that American Pulisic over there is really succeeding, even though he's kind of a meek guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a huge benefit for the Sixers, from a Sixers standpoint, as far as personalities like Simmons or maybe even a Tobias Harris or something like this, where they can succeed without that crowd pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I hope it works. This is really an interesting landscape to play these games without crowds, because it's just ball against ball. And so no crowd is going to influence no home and advantage and home floor advantage and going travel and back and forth. So it is an interesting landscape. And like, whoever is the best in the pickup game wins.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting because, you know, you have these guys that normally wouldn't succeed at the professional level. A lot of young mm-hmm. players that wouldn't normally get time over in England.
Yeah.
And now they're doing really, really well. So I think it could benefit the Sixers in that way, just from that mentality standpoint.
All right, brother. Let me give you one Sixer. Bad Sixer, good Sixer. All right, let's go with, this is probably an easy one for you. No, it's not easy. Andre Iguodala. Good Sixer, bad Sixer.
He's a legend.
Legend?
Yeah, right. I would give him legendary status during that era.
I would say no.
All right. Well, I would go legend.
Good. But, he's not a legend.
He was a good Sixer. All right, so we have one more thing to do today. And this is our final giveaway on 7-6 day. The Fanatic helping the Sixers celebrate their day on the calendar. The 5 o'clock hour giveaway is the Allen Iverson signed jersey. The contest line is 215-263-0975. This is how I'm going to do it. I want the 11th caller. You know what that is? Allen's number 3 times the number 6 gives you 18 minus 7. Gives you 11. I got all the numbers in there, Andrew. Numerology.
It's good work, buddy.
The 11th caller, 215-263-0975, gets the Allen Iverson signed jersey. By the way, who was our winner of the 5 o'clock? Mo?
It was Mo Abdul.
Mo Abdul. Congratulations to Mo Abdul. He won the Dr. J autographed basketball. All right. Thanks, everybody, for participating on this Monday. Tomorrow, again, we'll have the Christopher Columbus debate, the anti-Italian-American Christopher Columbus versus the pro. That should be an interesting conversation in addition to all the sports. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.